Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, This is Our Time of Deliverance, from the Chronicles of Exodus.
Exodus chapter 5, amen. Let's read in the Torah.
So they said, the God of Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor. So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore, they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says the Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get yourself straw where you can find it. Yet none of your work will be reduced. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw. Also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, why are you dealing thus with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants, and they say to us, make brick. And indeed, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle. Therefore, you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore, go now and work, for no straw shall be given you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. And they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it that you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to his people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of this land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel from the Egyptians, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord.
Exodus chapter number 5, verse number 19. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. After it was said, ye shall not diminish aught your bricks of your daily task. And then chapter 6, verse 1, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians for a correlating scripture, 1 Corinthians 10. All right. He said in Exodus 6 and 1, then the Lord said to Moses, now shall you see what I shall do with Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he shall let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land. All right, 1 Corinthians, and it's up to you whether you not want to turn there, but make sure you put it in your notes. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 6 to 11, it says, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither ye be idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. That's not a good thing. And the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. That's not a good thing, but I'll come back there another day. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and filled in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things, this is where I camp out. Now all these things happen to them for our ensamples or as an example. And they were written for our admonition on whom the ends of the world are to come. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For the next few moments, give me articulation of speech. Let me declare your words. Let me declare your truth. And your truth, oh God, will march, oh God, to the ends of eternity. Lord, give us an ear to hear. Don't stop at us hearing, God, but let us become doers of the word. Lord, you said in your word that a young man can cleanse his way by taking heed of the word and hiding the word in our heart. Speak, Lord, and your servant shall obey. Lord, declare your truth, that this time of deliverance would manifest and we would walk into that promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. Lord, as you said it, now do it. And as you do it, we'll declare, oh God, all the glory is yours. This is what we pray today. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Ministers, y'all may be released. Hold on, just hang out for me a few moments because we're going to go right there to the point. All right. But for a few moments, I want to talk, and I pray you can hear today. I want to talk from a subject, the proper education of the people of the Most High God. The proper education of the people of the Most High God. The proper education of the people of the Most High God. The Miseducation of the Negro is a book that was originally published in 1933 by Carter D. Woodson. The thesis of Carter's book is that the blacks of his day were being culturally indoctrinated rather than taught in the American schools. Stay with me, I promise you, I'm going somewhere. Carter D. Woodson believed that the Negro of his day were being culturally indoctrinated rather than taught in the American schools. The conditioning, he claimed, causes blacks to become dependent and seek out inferior places in the greater society in which they were part of. I pray that you're listening. I pray that you'll stay with me. But this conditioning that Carter talks about, he claims that the blacks were becoming dependent and to seek out inferior places in the greater society in which they were part of. If you study in the book of Exodus, the children of Israel, even when they are a day's journey from the promised land, the thing that they are asking for is, we were better off in Egypt. Be careful of what your conditioning calls you to wish for. Be careful of what your conditioning causes you to wish for. Carter D. Woodson said, because of the way the Negro in America had been schooled, they sought out inferior places in greater society in which they were a part of. He challenges the reader to become autodidacts and to do themselves and to do for themselves regardless of how and what they were taught. And this is very important because in this book, his argument is somebody has been miseducated. Every person of a color in America needs to read this book. But that ain't what I came to preach about. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you need to read this book. Because it still exists today. Baltimore has, and I don't want to get off y'all because this ain't what I came to preach about. Baltimore has a pipeline to prison that is making people rich off of our children. And if you don't understand that there is an intentional miseducation of our children, you will fail to realize why they have no problem killing one another and ending up in prison one more time. It's called miseducation. Why is this important? Why is miseducation important? History has shown us that it does not matter who is in power. Those who have learned to do for themselves have to depend solely on others, never obtain any more rights or privileges in the end than they did in the beginning. And I promise y'all I'm going somewhere. Just stick, amen, to the dense stuff till I can get to where I'm really going, all right? History has shown us that it does not matter who is in power. Right now, it's easily to blame 45. But the truth of the matter is most of us don't interact with 45 at all on a daily basis. It does not matter who is in power. This is what Carter Woodson said. It does not matter who is in power. Those who have learned to do for themselves have to depend solely on, those who have not learned to do for themselves have to depend solely on others, but they never obtain any more rights and privileges in the end than they did in the beginning. Why is this important? If we're not careful, we will be living as we did at the end of our lives, like we did at the beginning of our lives, because we were waiting for somebody to set us free. And at some point, we got to take up the responsibility and the mantle and say it's all on me and God. Oh, God. When you control, this is what Carter Woodson said, and this is so important. When you control a man's thinking, listen to this. Come on, tell your neighbor, listen. Come on, tell your neighbor, listen. Listen to what Carter Woodson said. He says, when you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. God, when you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. You do not have to tell him to stand here or not to go yonder. This is mind blowing. Let me start again because I'm a little bit too excited. When you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. You do not have to tell him to stand here or not to go yonder. He will stand in his proper place and will stay in it. When you control his thinking, he'll stand in his proper place and he'll stay in it. This far, no further. You can't do that. You can't go over there. Your kind don't do these kind of things. When you control a man's thinking, you do not have to tell them, don't go there and don't do that. He will on his own navigate to his proper place. Y'all got to stay with me and get this, all right? You do not need to tell him to go to the back door. Listen to this. You do not have to tell him to go to the back door. He will go without being told. God, oh, God. In fact, if there is no back door, he will cut one out to benefit himself. And this is what I want you to hear. His education makes the back door necessary. His education makes the back door necessary. If I didn't say nothing else, that would be enough for us to get a breakthrough today. If you're not careful, promised land will never be appealing to you. Because Egypt looks so much better. If you're not careful, your present condition, amen, is all that you will ascribe to, because promised land does not appeal to you. And Carter Woodson said, and it is so profound, is because the education that you have received. In Exodus chapter number 5, so I know I hear you saying, get to where you go on, Pastor. In education, in Exodus chapter number 5 and 6, if you study it and peruse through it properly, one of the things that you will lift from the text is that God is now trying to properly educate his people. God is now trying to properly educate his people. I'm going to give y'all permission to do something that most pastors won't do. I'm going to give you permission for a few seconds to go on your smart devices, because some of y'all have been peeking and hiding the whole service. So I'm going to tell you, pull it out. And I want you to look up an article called What is the proper, I'm sorry, the what is, let me make sure I give you the name right. What is, what does it mean to be educated? And it's by Forbes.com. And I promise y'all I'm going somewhere. Go ahead and pull your smart device out. Look up the article. Because I want you to read it in entirety when you get a chance. Because in this article, it talks about what does it mean to be properly educated. What does that really mean? What does it really mean to be properly educated? And in this article, and I wish I had a little bit more time, and I got to get where I'm going. Well, if we're going to say God is now properly educating his people, then we got to first discover what does it mean to be properly educated. And this is an excellent article because in this article, it gives four things, but I'm going to bring in a fifth thing that I think is imperative that we understand what does it mean to be properly educated. Number one, the article says, is to develop the intellect, presumably including linguistic, mathematical, and analytical capabilities. So the first thing is I got to be able to communicate, I got to be able to analyze, and I got to be able to do life, all right? The second thing it says is to produce component, and this is powerful, to produce competent, caring, loving, and lovable people. So one of the definitions that this article says is if you're going to be properly educated, you got to know how to love people. Somebody say wow with me. The third thing it says is to create and sustain a democratic society. And I'm not going to mess with that because it's going to talk about it in the article. And then number four is to invest in producing future workers for the workforce and ultimately corporate profits. So to be properly educated, you need to be able to produce. And in the article, when you get a chance to read it, in the article, it's going to talk about a doctor that is well educated, but when it comes to grammar and English, can hardly speak proper grammar. But had the ability to get the education to become a doctor and now be considered, because all we got to see is doctor in somebody's name, and we automatically give them accreditation to being properly educated. But there's a fifth thing that is not mentioned in this article that I believe God wants us to understand in being properly educated. And that is the grace factor. What is the grace factor? If I'm going to be properly educated as the people of God, then I must be somebody that know my God and know how to do exploits. It ain't enough for us to say we know God and we can't produce no exploits. And it's getting real quiet in here. If we're going to be properly educated, then absolutely, I agree with Forbes.com. Please go read the article when you get a chance. But I believe there's a grace factor that when God properly educates us, not only are we able to produce in the workforce, in the world, but I believe also we are able to do exploits, mighty deeds, and heroic acts. Come on, do me a favor, ask your neighbor, are you educated like that? Are you educated like that? There are too many Christians that cannot produce anything substantial in the spirit realm. And I hope y'all gonna stay with me because it ain't gonna take me that long. I'm not gonna be Christian all my life and don't see no miracle signs and wonders. I'm not going to be Christian all my life and not see the hand of God in my family. I'm not going to be, y'all can do that, but I ain't going to do that. If he's going to be Lord and God, I'm going to see him step in and calm the storm when the storm is raging in my house. Be properly educated, it means to be able to see signs, wonder, and a God of great exploits and great miracles. In the book of Exodus, what we see God doing is he begins to educate his people of how he wants to move. And if we're going to be properly educated, I believe one of the key things that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go study God historically that we might understand how to be educated in a postmodern age. Said it again, and I'm almost where I want to be, Holden. I believe we're going to have to go study God historically so we can be properly educated in a postmodern era because I don't know if we're convinced that he's a God of miracle signs and wonders. I think too many of us believe that he's only done it once and he can't do it no more. We go study God historically so we can find out that he has done it over and over and over and over. I'm going to say that again, and y'all going to get there before it's over, and I'll hold it. I'm about ready for you. We go study God historically so we can find out over and over and over with a mighty hand and a outstretched arm. He brought the children of Israel out, in, amen, under the Egyptians. He brought them out, amen, after 70 years captivity. When we get over in the book of Acts, there he goes again and again and again, and he ain't tired yet. We got to go do some history research. And we got to find out that God ain't never backed in a corner like that. I'm almost where I need to be, y'all. I need to tell somebody in here, God is never backed in a corner like that. Never. The worst thing, in fact, that the enemy really want to do is back our God in a corner. Because I don't know about your God. My God is called Jah. He is the God of war. And he will come out fighting. And oh God. And when he comes out fighting, he brings us out. He bring our mates out. He bring our children out. He bring our stuff out. And before it's over, our enemies say, their God is truly the God of the whole earth. And in Exodus chapter number 5, God is trying to educate the children of God with proper education. There's a colloquial saying, and Malachi, you might have to help me with this, and some of you young ones over here. I believe there's a colloquial saying that these young folks now talk about sonning people. Do I got it right? You my son, and I sonned you. And that sounds, y'all know what I'm talking about? And I might not see saying it right. Thank you. You know what I'm talking about. You know, and especially if you play sports, especially basketball, where you close communication, you score on somebody, they talk about, you son me, now you my son. And we sort of kind of think that's negative until we go study the history. Behold, are we now the sons of God? What we really want God to do is to son us. I thought that would go over way better than it did, but that's all right. Because if my understanding is correctly, this generation don't want nobody to son them. This generation celebrate being self-made. Okay, y'all gonna make me dig till I keep digging it out. This generation think me, myself, and I can do it. But I don't know about you. I want a holy father that looks over me night and day, and in the wee hours of the morning, lifts me up. Go ahead, God, son me. Go ahead, God, son me. That's why I believe we call him Abba. Yes. Father. Somebody say it with me. Son me, God. Son me, God. And when you get over 1 John, so you women can come on and go with us, that word, behold, we are the sons of God, it is literally translated to mean that we are the children of God. So he can son you too, and you are a female. Amen. Son me, God. That ain't a bad thing. So God is trying to educate the people in the text today. And there are three things that I'm going to share with you, and then I promise you, amen, I'll be done. Three things. Number one, when we go to Exodus chapter number 5, verse 3 through 23, number one, when God is now educating us, the enemy or the evil taskmasters have already discovered things about us which we might not fully know and understand our own selves. In this education process, God gonna show you some stuff about you through what the enemy's saying and doing. God, oh God. You don't want every one of your enemies to shut up. Some of your enemies, you want them to keep talking. God, y'all ain't hearing me. In the text, the Pharaoh says they are greater and mightier than us. And they shaking in their boots. Every now and then, y'all need to hear this, that our enemy is telling us something about ourselves that we ain't fully embraced. So when they tell you you think you cute, just shake your head. You're right. Sometimes people are saying, and we getting all upset. We getting, you know what are they talking about? Well, they trying to tell you something about you that you ain't, you think you all of that in a bag of chips. You're right. And I ain't fighting that no more. Every now and then, and I'm going to get through this, y'all. Every now and then, we trying to shut up what we need to be listening to. Because Pharaoh says in verse 4 and 5, they are a great people. It is amazing to me that the enemy can believe stuff about us that we don't even believe about our own selves. Your coworker, they know something about you. Oh, you just think you're going to come in here and get all the promotions. You're right. And you fighting that no more. Oh, you just think, we got a thing, when I'm over at AWT, we got a thing that we say, oh, you trying to be great today. Absolutely, I'm trying to be great today. Every now and then, guys, you got to appreciate what they saying about you and keep it moving. I think too often what we trying to do is spar with folks with words. God, I don't know if y'all can hear me. And we trying to say something back. Everything said, we don't need to say something back. Every now and then, just shake your head. Oh, you're great. Oh, you're mighty. Ah, you look good. Ah, you just think you look good? Yes, I think I look good. Every now and then, God is trying to reveal something through what our enemy is saying that we haven't fully embraced. You think you're going to the promised land? I absolutely do. Oh, you think you're getting ready to pay off that house? I absolutely do. Oh, you think you're getting ready to, amen, go to, amen, get your master's degree? I absolutely do. Amen. You need to think about three or four things that, oh, God, I feel you right there. Regina, I'm going to come back there and preach on top of your baby. Y'all better please hear me. Every now and then, you need to rehearse what the enemy's saying and start talking about, I agree with that. Because too much stuff we resist was the truth. Pharaoh was telling them who they were, and they were afraid of who was saying what they were. Somebody go ahead and practice. Say, I agree. I want to help y'all at work next week. Come on, I agree. Come on. I agree. And then sometimes you ain't got to say nothing. You just shake your head. You just think you're the boss, don't you? No, I think I'm the underboss. The boss is up there, but I'm the underboss. Yeah. Every now and then, in the text, Pharaoh is saying what they are, and I believe God is using Pharaoh because they were not fully convinced. They were not fully convinced that they were who God said they would be. This is not the season in which the enemy knows truthful things about us that we're not confessing, declaring, and walking out.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.